This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Today we have feedback. Yes, some of you have issues with some of what I've said or responses. Many of those have made their ways into episodes of their own. But some of them are just good, solid points, and I'm congregating them together in this episode. To start off with, we have feedback from Ian, who's responding to the episode on dictation, answering Grace's question. Ian says, riffing off Grace's question, I think of handwriting and dictation as automatic writing. It is a gift from the gods of writing, and I am allowed to do what I like with it, which includes ignoring punctuation when I'm doing either, and deleting everything if necessary. I suppose the only major downside of speaking as dictation is the danger of accidentally writing a very bad stage play, because dialogue comes so easily and naturally.
Well, Ian, that could be one disadvantage. On the other hand, depending on your narrative voice, it could be the other way around. I, for example, can dictate first person pretty okay. Haven't put a lot of practice into it, but I can tell a first-person story pretty well because I got a lot of practice in it. The narrative voice is sort of my natural voice, and I can inflect it, but I can then use any of those narrative voices that I've written in extemporaneously in everyday life, and I've actually been practicing that so that I can maybe move toward dictation if my wrists ever give out. Or if the RSI in my neck gets too bad, which is a lifelong problem coming from a series of serious neck injuries I had when I was 4 years old, which is one of the reasons I get cluster headaches like I do. Or at least it's one of the main triggers. No fun whatsoever. So in my case, it wouldn't be so much writing a bad stage play as it would be endless narration with no dialogue. And the reason is, I can write a lot of dialogue that I can't speak. I can hear it in my head. But when I speak it in my voice, it sounds really stupid. And that's one of the things I run into when I'm doing audiobooks, is I'm having to learn to speak in other voices, not just other dialects, but, you know, other voices. And that's an interesting, interesting challenge that I didn't think I would have, because my strength in writing various character voices comes from, eventually, having been an avid mimic as a kid. And I just sort of naturally mimic speech patterns in order to ingrain them. I sub-vocalize them when I'm hearing them. But doing that, to learn them, and then doing that out loud to speak them, whole other thing. So for me, dialogue is the hard part to dictate. But for you, narration is the hard part to dictate, and dialogue isn't. So we all have our crosses to bear. But yeah, one thing that's for sure is when you start dictating, you're going to find you have to remap some of the skills from your writing brain to your speaking brain in ways that maybe aren't entirely predictable at the beginning. You seem to have found yours. I would love to hear what kinds of troubles other people are having on that score. But yeah, bad stage plays don't read well. And we've got another question about that coming up, so I'm going to go ahead and pass on to the next bit of feedback pretty quickly here. Melissa has a couple pieces of feedback. She says, regarding the antagonist point of view, C.S. Friedman is the author she wants to recommend. She says, best version ever. You hated the main character and you couldn't look away. Still, some of the best writing I've seen. Black Sun Rising is book one. Well, I'm definitely going to check that out, and the rest of you who want to, if you want to support the cast a little bit, you will find a link, an affiliate link, to that book in the show notes. And by the way, all the links in my show notes are affiliate links, because it's one of the ways that I support the cast. Unless it's to a public domain source, then it's just a link to the public domain source. Melissa says, regarding the episode on cloud computing and my rant, my vociferous vituperative rant against the cloud, she says, I both agree and disagree with you on this. I gave up and moved everything to a cloud because I had a computer that was crashing, blue screen of death, on a regular basis no matter what I did, and I got tired of losing stuff or wondering what hadn't been backed up this time. I pay for the backup, and while I should probably add a bit more encryption, the risk is worth my sanity and stress. though I do still back up my taxes in writing every so often. And she doesn't say locally, but I assume that's what she means. And yeah, this does bring up something that the cloud does that is hard for most people to take care of if they don't have a cloud backup solution, and that is off-site backups. This is very important. Off-site backups ensure your data against fire and theft and flood. If your house burns down or your computer burns up, I've actually had computers spontaneously explode before due to power surges or whatnot, or if your house floods and the flood gets your hard drives, or if someone comes in and steals your computer or lifts your laptop off of the airport carousel or whatever, any data that's there that isn't backed up, you're hosed. So, yeah, it's a very, very good idea to have off-site backups of anything you're working on, something that's in a physically separate structure from where you live. When I was living on the Oregon coast near Dean Wesley Smith and Christine Catherine Rush, they both have a similar opinion of the cloud that I do, for some of the same reasons and for some different reasons. But their solution was, for their writing, they each keep memory stick copies of everything they're doing. They keep redundant copies, one at like the office, one in the glove compartment of their car, one in their pocket, so that anywhere they are, if they suddenly lose everything, they've always got a copy of their writing with them or one they can get to. And that is really, really smart. The mechanics of managing those backups can be a little difficult, but if you want to do something like that, what I would recommend is just set aside an evening every week. Bring your memory sticks all together, and then copy everything off to each memory stick in serial, and then rehome them where they're supposed to go. And that way you'll always have a contemporary copy. And you can do the same with your financial records and whatnot, though those you might not want to be carrying around in an exposed place. You might want to have those in a safe deposit box or in a lockbox at a friend's house or something like that. Me personally, I've set up a couple of offsite servers at friends' houses, which I own. So I've basically created my own remote cloud that is at different places, so that if I am ever involved in a terrible, terrible accident, or there's an earthquake, or my house gets burglarized again, or anything like that, I do not lose my corpus of work, because that is the most important thing to me. And that's in addition to having it in the office and the house, or in this case, in the RV and in the house I'm currently staying in. Anyway, good feedback. Thank you very much, both of you, for sending it in. I'm going to move on to record the next episode, so I will see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.